Hello and welcome to the Master of Demon Gorge podcast. Today we're talking about the extensive records of the Taiping era. I want to begin today by talking about, of all things, the Argentine writer Jorge Luis Borges. In particular, I want to talk about his 1942 essay, The Analytical Language of John Wilkins. John Wilkins was a 17th century Anglican clergyman and natural philosopher. In his 1668, An Essay Towards a Real Character and a Philosophical Language, Wilkins proposed the creation of a universal language. The way it would work, as Borges explains it, is as follows. Wilkins divided the universe into 40 categories or classes, these being further subdivided into differences, which was then subdivided into species. He then assigned to each class a monosyllable of two letters, to each difference, a consonant, to each species, a vowel. For example, de, de, which means an element, deb, deb, the first of the elements, fire, deba, deba, a part of the element fire, a flame. Borges points out the problem with this approach, this sort of analytical language. In order to categorize all things in the world, you need to already know the size and scope of the world. Of course, that's impossible, which also makes the effort at categorization absurd. Let us consider the eighth category, the category of stones, Borges writes. Wilkins divides them into common, silica, gravel, schist, modix, marble, amber, coral, precious, pearl, opal, transparent, amethyst, sapphire, and insoluble, chalk, arsenic. The arbitrariness of these categories is obvious, as is the potential for overlaps. To further illustrate his point, Borges cites the celestial emporium of benevolent knowledge. Here, Borges is doing a very Borgesian thing. He's making up a fictional reference to make a non-fictional point. There is no celestial emporium of benevolent knowledge. But within the essay, he claims that he learned about it from the German translator of Chinese books, Franz Kuhn. Here's Borges again. These ambiguities, redundancies, and deficiencies remind us of those which Dr. Franz Kuhn attributes to a certain Chinese encyclopedia entitled Celestial Emporium of Benevolent Knowledge. In its remote pages, it is written that the animals are divided into A. belonging to the emperor, B. embalmed, C. tame, D. sucking pigs, E. sirens, F. fabulous, G. stray dogs, H. included in the present classification, I. frenzied, J. innumerable, K. drawn with a very fine camel hair brush, L. etc., M. having just broken the water pitcher, N. that from a long way off look like flies. Obviously, Borges is highlighting the absurdity of attempting this kind of categorization. Obviously, an animal can belong to the emperor and be tame and be fabulous and be frenzied and be a dog and so on. So, like I said, the celestial emporium of benevolent knowledge is fictional. And it's possible that on some level, at least, Borges attributed to this ridiculous and yet whimsical and oddly beautiful list to the Chinese in an illustration of how Westerners think about the Chinese. Think about how the Chinese think. But what I want to talk about today is one such attempt at categorization that is honest to God genuine and which does come from ancient China. Today I want to tell you about the Taiping Guangji, which may be translated as the extensive records of the Taiping era. It's called Taiping Guangji because the reign of Emperor Taizong of the Song Dynasty is also known as the Taiping era or the Taiping Xingguo era. Specifically, Emperor Taizong of the Song, the second ruler of the Song Dynasty, reigned from 976 to 997 AD. During the second year of his reign, in 977, he ordered a group of scholar officials to compile the book, a job they completed by the following year, 978. So it's a compendium, an anthology. Nothing is original in the book Taiping Guangji. Everything is pulled from an earlier text. And at the end of each entry in the anthology, the editors wrote down the source of the material, the prior text they excerpted from. Except sometimes they were mistaken. Sometimes they wrote down the wrong sources. Sometimes they confused different books of similar titles. Nonetheless, the Taiping Guangji is invaluable because in many instances, the source texts are by now lost to history. Only Taiping Guangji has preserved it for posterity. And it's an anthology mostly of stories, tales, works of fiction, composed from the 3rd century on down to the time of the compendium's compilation in the 10th century. This span of time includes the bursts of creativity seen during the so-called Six Dynasties of southern China from 222 to 589, and then in the frenzy of short story writing during the late Tang Dynasty. A number of important Tang Dynasty short stories, called legends at the time, have been preserved only because of their inclusion in the Taiping Guangji. So without it, Chinese literature would be much the poorer. But interestingly, and here is the connection with Borges and his fictional celestial emporium of benevolent knowledge, the editors of the Taiping Guangji chose to organize the hundreds of stories they collected under a series of categories. And categories seem almost designed to illustrate Borges's point about the impossibility of categorization. Here are some of the categories of stories. Immortals. Female immortals. Taoist magic, Taoist magicians, strange individuals, strange monks, illustrating the veracity of Buddhism, karma, fulfillment of omens, fate, concordance with the supernatural, fulfillment of prophecies, famous sages, frugality, justice, knowing people, perspicacity, skilled debates, intelligence at a young age, magnanimity, civil service exams, careers as officials, army generals, courage, wuxia, like the modern genre of wuxia, essays, music, calligraphy, painting, mathematics, fortune telling, medicine, games, alcohol, food, friendship, humor, satire, cruelty, women, feelings, page boys, dreams, witches, illusionism, gods, ghosts, demons, other demons, supernatural, rebirths, understanding a previous life, grave sites, thunder, rain, mountain, stone, water, treasures, plants, dragons, tigers, cattle, foxes, snakes, fowls, water species, insects, barbarians, miscellaneous biographies, miscellaneous records. So, obviously, lots of potential overlaps, and really quite arbitrary. Any one story can easily touch on numerous category headings. But to illustrate the point, I want to tell you one famous story collected in the Taiping Guangzi. And I want you to guess which category it comes under within the compendium. The story is a Tang Dynasty legend or short story. It's called The Governor of Nanke Province. In the story, the protagonist, a young man, drinks too much and falls asleep leaning against a tree. He then has a dream in which he travels to a kingdom called Huai'an and marries its princess. He has 7 children with her and gets appointed to the post of the governor of Nanke Province, a position he occupies for 20 years. But then Huai'an falls into a terrible war against another kingdom called Tanluo. Meanwhile, the princess dies, and the protagonist loses favor at court until he is fired from his position as the governor of Nanke and is ordered to return home. As he travels home, he wakes up and realizes that it's all been a dream. He's still leaning against the tree where he fell asleep. And the kingdoms of Huai'an and Tanluo, he realizes, are 2 rival ant colonies under the same tree. The story is so famous that a Chinese proverb has come out of it. Like a dream of Nanke is a phrase underscoring how transient earthly pursuits really are. Wealth, honor, positions, everything passes soon enough, like a dream. And in the end, it's no more important than a war between 2 groups of ants. But okay, so given the content of the story, and given the categories I named above, which category do you suppose it comes under within the Taiping Guangzi? Well, it's about a dream, so perhaps it comes under the category of dreams. Make sense? Or, since he becomes the governor of Nanke Province, maybe it comes under careers as officials. Well, that seems to make just as much sense. Or, since he lives a whole lifetime in the dream, maybe it comes under understanding a previous life. Okay, I can see that. These are all reasonable guesses. These are reasonable categories. But they are wrong. The Taiping Guangzi categorizes this story under insects because of the revelation at the end that the rival kingdoms are actually ant colonies. I assume Borges wasn't aware of Taiping Guangzi, because if he was, he could have just referred to this real text rather than make up a fictional illustration of his point from Chinese culture. And, boy, if Borges were still alive, I would truly love to tell him about the Taiping Guangzi. This has been MODG. Thank you for listening.